The following programming is sponsored by Factorum Business Solutions. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Greetings and salutations. Welcome to the Tone and Tenor Show, bipartisan voices of the people. I'm Randall Jefferson.
I'm Pat Edward.
Our show looks at major issues impacting the nation and region from a bipartisan perspective, which means two. We want to hear from you, our listeners. Call in, join the conversation. Our call-in number is 1-888-329-3306. That's 1-888-329-3306. You can also send us your comments via social media. Our Twitter handle is at Tone and Tenor. Our Instagram handle is at Tone and Tenor Radio. And you can also like us on Facebook. Just type the words Tone and Tenor in the Facebook search engine to find us. Our topic today is a continuation from last week. It's called Interesting Political Week, Locally, Regionally, and Nationally. What's Next, Part 2. Budget funding, transparency, and accountability. That's a mouthful, Pat. Joining us later in the show will be Philadelphia City Controller Rebecca Reinhart. And we will get to her bio at the break. She'll be joining us around the 2:20 hour. Pat.
Yep.
Let's start with COVID. You know, we haven't said too much lately. But there is a surge in COVID.
There's a new strain, new variable. It's like the new dance of the week. You know what I mean?
There's the death rate is up approximately 300 people a day. It's up 10%. And the new strain is a new vaccine. Look, a blind man could see that they were going to open up for the summer so that they could recoup some of this money.
Sure.
You know, and people continue to do what you need to do. Be mindful of your surroundings. Be mindful. If you have to mask up, there's talk that New York, your family's hometown, may be masking back up shortly.
Yeah.
In the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, I had text Mayor Adams. I'm actually waiting for a call from him. He said there's some interesting stuff going on, but I guess he, you know, didn't want to text, and that's fine. They don't play. I remember we were there during the winter for PS Cited. Yeah, it didn't play. Yeah. Like if you didn't have some type of evidence or a test that you took in the last 3 days for a negative COVID screening.
So folks, make sure you have your cards. Make sure you got your boosters. If you got to get boosters. You know, because we're going to go into the winter, and it's going to be an interesting time again.
Yeah, so to talk about the numbers locally, top five, we're always in the top five in negative stuff. Philly, Allegheny County, Montgomery County, Bucks County, Lancaster. Lancaster's actually, that's new. 3.4 million cases, 40, 45,949 deaths. But on this one, it doesn't talk about recovery numbers. So I don't really particularly, I'm not fond of that. Because it is something that you can beat. So Philadelphia County, the numbers are down, but in other places they're up. But there's 340,000 cases in Philly. Allegheny County was 295,000. Montgomery County, 172,000. Bucks County, 136. Lancaster County, that looks like 100. Was it 129? And stateside. Well, stateside is 3 million, but they don't have the breakdown of the states.
But, you know what's interesting, Pat, you know, we're not out of the woods. We're not going to be out of the woods. This is just going to be similar to the flu shot, you know.
Yeah, but you can't even tell the difference now. You don't know if you have the flu or cold or COVID.
You don't know whether you have the flu, whether you have allergies, sure, or whether you have COVID. And then some folks are getting these false negatives with the home take-home tests.
Yeah, now I go to a center. I actually went this week because, you know, my allergies was kicking my butt. I thought I had it, but it was both tests came up
negative. I have a relative that had their third case. They work for a major insurance company here, medical insurance company in the city. Third time around. So even though you've got boosters, even though you got your shots,
this stuff is not a joke.
So people really, if you're out there, be mindful of your surroundings. Be mindful of where you're at. You know, enjoy yourself, but take the necessary precautions, you know, because this is not over. And no one's really has established where this originated at.
Sure.
And now we got the monkeypox. And they got people standing in line for vaccine for monkeypox. And there is cases of monkeypox in Philadelphia, in Pennsylvania, and our surrounding states. So, again, where is these things coming from? Is this, you know, at the end of the day, it's about money for major
pharmaceutical companies for sure,
and all of that. So, you know, everything. We live in a capitalistic society. We said this over and over again, and everything. That's why that title is Budget Funding Transparency and Accountability. It's time for accountability. It's long past. I was just having a conversation before coming into the studio with another person from the show after us, and we was just talking about this stuff has been going on, lack of transparency, for 30, 40 years or more, and accountability. So now all of a sudden, everybody, don't fall for the funk. Everybody wants to be concerned. Why? Because next year is a big election cycle. You know, let's not get it twisted, people. See, we're going to tell you the truth. Pat and I are going to tell you the truth, whether folks like it or they don't like it.
Yeah.
The truth is the light, you know. You're not supposed to mix politics and religion, but truth is the light, saith the Lord. If you don't want to hear the truth, then you got to tune in somewhere else, because you can check everything that Pat and I say. You know?
Yeah, pretty much.
And if we make a mistake, we will come back with a new mistake, with the new facts, and tell you we made a mistake.
Yeah, we corrected ourselves a couple times.
We corrected ourselves. You know, we're not going to sweep it under the rug. But, Pat, where do we begin? We've done the COVID. We've talked about,
I like these guys, so we're going to use them today. PA Spotlight. Pretty awesome. So, the question was, what's the holdup? Late budgets were the norm during Wolf's first term, including multi-month impasses in 2015 and 2017, but it was really 2014, because I told you it imploded my business. That's when I started to really be a little bit more curious about the layers that come with politics.
Oh, you're talking about that onion that I always talk about, huh?
Oh, yeah. No, it made me cry. We're talking about a six-figure business that went to zero. Well, not zero. That's not true. So we went from six schools at roughly, y'all do the math, between 20 and 40,000 per school to maybe 20% of that.
Oh, man, you could have got part of that $450,000 that's being thrown out.
No,
there.
I wouldn't have gotten that. That was during the impasse of 2014.
I'm just, it's another waste in the city.
Yeah, they did him. They did Governor Wolf dirty. But they didn't hurt him. They hurt us. You know, they hurt the common everyday person. So just moving on. The past few weeks, the budget negotiations proceeded with much less friction due to higher than expected revenues and the COVID-19 pandemic, which created a willingness to compromise in this area despite the state's multi-billion dollar surplus, as well as the $2.2 billion in federal surplus money. Talks have been difficult this year due to differing priorities among Wolf and Republican leaders, as well as emboldened conservative rank and filed dissidents. Hilarious.
You know,
I love this.
You're talking about this spotlight, but you know, I guess, you know, Mark Levy of the Inquirer, I'm sorry, Associated Press, says the same thing. Some lawmakers complain the budget took so long because the state has so much money to spend. So much money to spend. Indeed, Pennsylvania is in the best fiscal position in years, with the state treasury benefiting from federal coronavirus subsidies, propping up the economy, tax collection, and state spending. I ain't seen none of that.
Well, here's some more that y'all not gonna like. So, Spotlight PA Capital sources echoed by reporting by Penn Live suggest that there are general agreement amongst Republicans to vote for an increase in education spending, which they did do.
And here's the numbers. The budget includes about $1 billion more for public schools or 11% more for instruction, special education, and operations. That brings the total annual increase over Wolf's 8 years in office to almost $3 billion or 41% more. Dang. Billion. We ain't talking about hundreds of millions more went for pre-kindergarten programs, rising pension costs, the rising cost of gas for school buses, school security, and programs that benefited private schools. Funding for higher education rose by about $165 million, or 9%, including $75 million for the 14-campus Pennsylvania State System of Higher Education. System Chancellor Daniel Greenstein called it unprecedented.
And they're still raising. And they're still raising because Temple, when I moved here, Temple was like, what, $8,000-$9,000 a year?
And the schools now are, after they all of the schools that Villanova was considered a best buy for the buck, they have just been taken off of that list.
Terrible.
Because of, you know, all this extra money, but there's also increases going on.
So here's some other stuff to add. So in exchange, Wolf would sign off on GOP policy wins such as a ban on private funding for election administration or an end to regulatory actions targeting charter schools or the natural gas industry. So they still don't want to pay their fair share. Other policies on the table include a corporate tax cut. Oh, they need another one. Okay. More funding for nursing homes. And using stimulus money.
Wait a minute. Corporate tax cut.
Yeah.
But
it's emboldened too.
This.
Yes.
Pennsylvania's meaning you and I won't see a cut in income or sales tax, the two major sources of money for the state's operating fund. But Wolf and lawmakers are cutting the corporate net income tax rate, one of the nation's highest. It will drop from its current 9.99% rate next year by a full percentage point, then half percentage point annually until 2031, when it hits 4.99%. That is projected to cost the state hundreds of millions of dollars in the next couple of years at least. Lots of other business interests got bigger tax breaks too.
Mm. Well, and
because the people that voted ain't get nothing out the deal.
Hardly. Doesn't really happen.
You know, we talked about housing. You know, housing programs will get 1/4 of the leftover. Listen to this. 1/4 of the leftover federal coronavirus money, or $540 million. Now, this is leftover. So if they're only getting 1/4, and that's $540 million, the aid will boost affordable housing construction, home repair and heating assistance, and property tax and rental subsidies. Pat, what did you tell me earlier today? There's no such thing as...
No such thing as affordable housing. No such thing.
And no one...
There's no such thing.
Every time we talk about affordable housing here on this show, no one can give us or make a clarity of what affordable housing truly is.
Yeah, because there's no such thing. I mean, because even in the... even when you have like Section 8 or like the assistance, it's corporate welfare. It's corporate government welfare. So, you know... The people that get the bulk of that money are usually people that are either insiders or in bed with people. These are just the facts.
Speaking of affordable housing, here in Philadelphia, again, we'll probably end up on the news again because there's another encampment. Affordable housing units, which sit on the University of Penn's Drexel campus borders, people have been living in these houses for a town. They call them the People's Townhouses for over 40 years. Now, all of a sudden, these folks are being put out. The third district council person, Jamie Gutierrez, was out there when all the TV cameras were out there. But the encampment is out there. So these people they are not going to leave. You know, half of them have not gotten, they were supposed to be given vouchers for other places. But these vouchers don't cover the cost of rent.
But here's the thing too, a lot of these landlords, and I know some people that, you know, they own either multiple properties or a 10 multiple family units, things of that nature, but you know, they're actually losing money. Even the ones who are currently accepting, you know, Section 8 or people coming back from prison and things of that nature. But you have phase 3 and phase 4 for the rental assistance that has not been paid out. So people are like literally like in dire straits trying to pay their mortgage.
Money still sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
And these folks here, and this is in Philadelphia, ladies and gentlemen. It's on between 40th and 39th and Market.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, there were schools there. You know, the schools were torn down. Drew University City High School, which was one of the newest schools, it was torn down, and Drexel bought the property. So they're trying to make this all a University City area. And, you know, these people are standing tall. You know, there are no schools in that area. And if you have to send your child to school, you can go to Sadie B. Alexander, which is predominantly an gentrified area, and you have a waiting list, or you have to go further into the bottom. But what's happening now, we have a new school superintendent here in the city of Philadelphia, Mr. Wallington. He has already contracted $450,000 to somebody help him figure out what's going on in the city of Philadelphia.
Instead of just going to the teachers' union or to the parents and just asking.
Wait. That's not just it.
This is not the first time.
He's got an 80-person transition team.
Mm. You know, everybody getting paid.
80-person transition team. Sure. And newsflash, they're going to close schools.
Yeah, after they didn't close almost 30.
You know, so why do I need to hire someone at $450,000 when you've already made up, or somebody has made up their minds, that schools are going to close in the city of Philadelphia?
After they've already closed almost 30. But also, this is not the first instance of this happening. When Dr. Height was here, right? You know, I told y'all he made $5 million off us. Boy, he got away. He made away like a bandit. But he did something similar with a group from Boston.
Yeah. And yet and still, folks have said, and the school board, the mayor, and other folks have said, Dr. Hite was the greatest thing since American apple pie.
I beg to differ. If we look at
the
numbers.
If my father was here, he would use a slogan that I can't use on his air.
Oh, no, you can't.
Free schools and...
Yeah, we ain't going to do that. But with that said, we're going to take our first break, y'all. You are now listening to Tone and Tenor, Bipartisan Voices of the People. Today's discussion topic is COVID-19, interesting political week, locally, regionally, and nationally. What's next? Part two. We'll be coming back with, hopefully, Controller Reinhardt.
Welcome back to Tone and Tenor here on WWDB Talk 860 out of beautiful Bala Cynwyd, Pennsylvania. Our topic today is interesting political week locally, regionally, and nationally. What's next? Part two, budget funding, transparency, and accountability. We want to welcome to the show our guest, Rebecca Reinhardt. She is Philadelphia City Controller. Rebecca Reinhardt made history in 2018 when she was sworn in as the first woman ever elected to city controller of the city of Philadelphia. As city controller, Reinhardt serves as Philadelphia's chief auditor and independent financial watchdog. In that role, she uses the audit function to push for better management of the city's finances and works to identify cost savings, recommend best practices, and expose fraud and mismanagement. Mm. Under her leadership, the office is committed to transparency, accountability, and good government. She brings both private sector and government experience to her role as city controller after working as director in the public finance division at Finch Ratings and as a managing director at Bear Stearns, a company. That was one of my clients. Rebecca left Wall Street to help improve Philadelphia, becoming city's treasurer in 2008. She moved on to serve as budget director, overseeing the city's $4 billion Dollar General Fund budget, as well as a budget for water, aviation, and grant funds. She then served as Chief Administrative Officer for 1 year. Controller Reinhardt, welcome to the Tone and Tenor Show. How are you?
Oh, it's great to be here. Yeah. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Yeah, we could tell by your bio, you don't got a lot of friends. Fiscal watchdog.
I know. You know what? I'm not here to make friends, although I hope that some people like me along the way.
Yeah, you can be cordial with people.
You know,
understand that.
You know, when you're doing your job, you know, you know a lot of people that, you know, they want you to be friendly, but they want you to sometimes have blinders on to certain things, you know, and that's what gets us in trouble. Having been in finance myself for 26 years, I can feel your pain sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, I look at it that I was a elected and am elected by the people. So I have to do what's right for the people. And what's right for the people, as long as I keep that compass, which I feel strongly and believe in, then, you know, among other electeds, it's nice if I get along with people, and I get along with a good number of people, but if they get mad at me because I do my job, I can't help that. That's about doing my job and working for the people.
And that's what it's about, because it's the people that, you know, a lot of folks forget that the people are your boss, your employer.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot say, well, you can fire them at the election, at the voting booth, but if folks don't understand what's going on, you know, we need more people that will tell the truth and uncover, you know, the truth hurts regardless of who's doing it. You know, and people have to own up to it, and so that we can build a better city, build a better state, and build a better country as we move forward. So again, thank you for joining us, and Pat.
Yeah, so what are you working on? And I'd like to thank Jolie is awesome, by the way.
She's wonderful.
Yes.
She's been in my office since I was elected and took office in 2018. So
yeah.
She's great. And, you know, working on a lot of things. As being the city controller, I, of course, do the financial audit work of the city, but I also do special audits. I did a special audit of the parking authority. Right now, we're doing a special audit of policing in Philadelphia, of the police department. And there's two types of audits. There's financial audits and performance audits. And I don't want anyone's eyes to start to glaze over about this, but it's really important, because the performance audit side is looking at how well the city spends each dollar.
Sure.
So, and that's when it gets into really that it's taxpayer money and how well are we serving the people. And that's really why I wanted to look at policing, because the police budget is $800 million a year, which is the largest spend area of the city's overall budget. I wanted to look at that and do a deep dive, because, you know, there's a lot of discussion and back and forth about what needs to change around policing to make people truly feel safe. And I wanted to get, you know, more to do a deep dive into it, to have recommendations that come out of it, to say, you know, what is happening and what changes are necessary or what is needed to make it truly a public safety function for our city.
Sure.
Unfortunately, right now, we're not. Our poor city is not safe. What was it, 14 people in the city shot in last night, 24 hours?
That's horrible.
Control around how people are wits in on where this is actually going. And the shootings, you know, creating laws and having laws on the books that aren't enforced, or, you know, how will your deep dive audit, will there be any, do you think there'll be any real recommendation? Well, I know there'll be real recommendations, but do you think they'll be instituted, especially with next year being an election year and the mayor will be leaving, and then the new elect in 2024 will have to step in and maybe appoint a new police commissioner or so. How do you see that going forward?
So, I mean, the violence right now is, as you said, so horrible. And this is an area that my office started to do work in back in 2019. And you might wonder, why is the city controller doing work around gun violence? But I feel really strongly as a citywide elected leader and as a mom and a resident of this city that I have to do everything I can possibly do because people's kids are dying. You know, our kids in Philadelphia are dying, and it's so horrible, and people don't feel safe. And that feeling of safety is such a core human need. And it's government's job to make, to create that safety, and government is failing. So my office has done work since 2019, and there are specific things that could be done, specific in the mayor's administration, there are specific intervention strategies that have worked tremendously well in other places, specifically focusing on those most likely to shoot or be shot, which is a very small subset of the full population. And then, you know, I think that we need an approach that includes both significant investment into the neighborhoods that have been long neglected. I think that is absolutely necessary to combat the decades of racist policy. In addition to that, though, there does need to be accountability and some enforcement, some consequence to the behavior. There needs to be a crackdown on illegal guns. There needs to be a semblance of order, and we need leadership to do that. So I know I'm talking a lot.
We need to hear this because we say this all the time. But the other side of it is, you know, and this is my pet peeve. We have a lot of organizations out there receiving grant money, money for this, that, and the other, you know. And my whole thing is that we have these organizations getting hundreds and thousands, some even millions of dollars, and there's no metrics on how do we account for this, or will there be any way that we could, going forward in your studies, or will there be some suggestions? Because, you know, we're throwing good money after bad money. I'm going to say it, you know. A lot of these folks, and now every time you turn around, when something else comes up, trauma or whatever, there's a new organization being created. There's a new organization being created, and, you know, they're not actually, most of them, if they are legitimate nonprofits, are claiming they're only getting less than $50,000, and they're only filing 990 in cards, you know, and then they are getting this money. So, you know, without full financial disclosure on what's happening, you know, there's been several people gone to jail behind stuff like this. You know, how will these metrics, can these metrics be put into place as spending? Because we have this thing here, we use an acronym called TRAC. You know, it's called transparency, responsibility, accountability, credibility, and knowledge. And, you know, we want everybody on track.
Yeah, there's a lot of good things you raised just now. The grants to the community organizations, there's been some reporting on this that there was about $22 million budgeted last year for community organizations. About $10 million was actually given out. My office put a request into the mayor's, the managing director's office, which reports to the mayor, put a request in May to say, what are the plans for evaluation for these funds? What metrics are going to be used, and who's going to be doing the evaluating. And that was at the beginning of May, and we have yet to receive a response.
So where's the other $12
million? On that. So they rolled it into the next year. They rolled it into the next year.
Okay,
so,
thank you.
sure. And when we look, though, at the overall anti-violence spend that's going on right now by the city, it's not being handled well because there's an Office of Violence Prevention which has been doing work around violence prevention for years and hasn't been getting true results that have been published or told to anyone, and the violence keeps rising.
Mm-hmm.
We looked at the last year, the $155 million that the mayor touted about spending, and I was happy to see that council fought to increase that amount, which was great. I mean, we need to fund anti-violence initiatives and strategies more, but it needs to be towards strategies that really work, that mm-hmm. have been shown to work. And mm-hmm. then, to your point, measure those and track those. And that's not what's happening. The vast majority of the anti-violence money right now is going towards programs that are expected to have an outcome in 5 years or more.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have
that kind of time. We ain't
yeah,
got it.
Yeah, yeah. So, right.
You're right. We need an accelerated process.
Yeah, and there are strategies that work. Mm-hmm. I mean, Oakland, Chicago, New Orleans have done real specific targeted programs on the people most likely to shoot or be shot. It's not a large group of people,
mm-hmm.
mostly young men, to offer them a way out
mm-hmm.
of that lifestyle and to offer them the support structure around that, and which is coupled with therapy and job training and just overall support. Mm-hmm. But then if they don't want to change, then there has to be some prosecution angle to it.
Sure.
It definitely has to be some form of prosecution, because mm-hmm. we have too many youngsters that are picking up guns, and you know, and we just always focus just on guns, but we should be focusing on violence.
Violence
period.
In general, yeah.
Because we have carjackings are up. We are at over 725, and we only had less than 700 in a whole year last year.
Wow. Yeah. Right.
But part of that is, I think Dr. King said, violence or acting out is the voice of the unheard.
Yes.
But it's not just that. It's also the perpetual stuff. Like, remember, what sparked our conversation. So we ran into each other at the Sayre pool, right? There's a lot mm-hmm. of politics behind that, right? It's, who's in charge? Who owns it? It's like the same thing when we were working at Wissahickon, Wailusing in mm-hmm. 52nd Street. Right. There's like these games that the city plays where, we don't own that. This person's in charge. That person's in charge. And then, you know, when you do the research, it's like, OK, if you don't want to be in the pool business, and we get that. Y'all don't want to be in the pool business because of liability. But there are things in place, like it's hot outside. Right. Most times in summer, kids are. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't agree with that. The city should be in the pool business. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. the city, that pool and Sayre Pool, I agree, is a completely frustrating situation at Sayre Pool.
You know, Controller, it's interesting because Sayre Pool is a few blocks from where I live. And, you know, I tell people I have no high school because I went to University City, which, you know, for some odd reason they tore down. But that's another story, different time.
Never let that go.
No. But Sayre was, and people can argue with me, or they don't have to. Sayre was where young people went to be trained to be lifeguards mm-hmm. because it was an indoor pool mm-hmm. and they held those trainings year-round so that when summer came, they had enough lifeguards. And all of a sudden, Sayre becomes disarrayed, forgotten about, and you have several hundreds of kids in that area. All of them can't go to Cobbs Creek Pool, and they have to walk across Cobbs Creek, and they can't go by themselves. So it's not making good sense to me, and I don't know, you know, maybe that's my problem. I'm trying to think with sense and be logical on what we have to do to really get our young people, you know, we have to get them really engaged in the process somehow and listen to them because mm-hmm. they're hurting. And, you know, sometimes as my father used to do me, he would have us sit down at the table. He may not have agreed with us, but we were allowed to be heard and we made our points or was able to make some points, and it made those that were older than us or the adults to think, because we were a different generation.
Right.
And as you said, we still have these same old organizations, and I said it again, that are still working on stuck on stupid because they're doing the same thing they did 20, 30, 40 years ago. And collecting this money without measurables because they were allowed to do it. And now you have other people that are falling into play to do the same thing. And my hat is off to you to that someone is actually talking the same language. I'm talking about metrics.
Yeah.
And
well,
how
yes,
do
metrics.
This.
Well, and it's we need to measure. And also, for example, for Sarah Poole, you're absolutely right. It doesn't make logical sense. And this is why when I heard about what was going on at Sarah Poole and spoke with the council member, Gauthier, about it, I said, well, this doesn't make any sense if why there's got to be a way to figure to work out a deal here to get this pool back open, because here we are, you know, that we should be looking at the city right now and saying, okay, the 14 zip codes out of 40, that the subset of the city that is seeing the majority of the violence, we need to do everything we can to care for that neighbor, those neighborhoods. So to me, this is how I look at it. Like, we should be redirecting the trauma treatment. The city gets $1 billion a year for trauma treatment.
Wow.
We should be making sure the libraries are open on weekends. We should be making sure there's rec programming in the communities. And so to me, that's what we should be doing in addition to the law enforcement side, but we should be showing the neighborhoods that have been long neglected. We should be showing that we care. That and so Sarah Poole to me would be, well, of course we should find, it was $3 million is what the school district had estimated. The school district owns that pool, and the school district estimated a few years ago that it would cost $3 million. Now, the city's budget, the operating budget is in the billions. Mm-hmm. The capital budget is hundreds of millions. I was the budget director. I know that if the mayor says to the budget director or the mayor says to the finance director, and there's a whole structure over there, but that to find $3 million for
figure
something,
it out. Yeah.
I would find it.
Mm-hmm.
I would find it.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
the city can find it. So when the city says they don't have the money, they're saying they're not prioritizing it. Mm. And that's horrible. That's horrible because we should be prioritizing Sarah Poole. And it's so maddening that, you know, and then I spoke to the school district about that and said, well, you know, then they put it up for a school board meeting and said that it would cost $10 million. So then I had a call with them and said, where did you get? And so they voted it down.
$7 million.
Oh.
They voted it down. So I said, why did you vote it on $10 million? Because the estimate was $3 million. And they said, well, if we're going to do it, we want to make it a world-class pool that can have competitive swimming across the entire school district. And I said,
what?
That doesn't even make sense. That's what they said. I said, that doesn't even
but
make sense.
But yet and still, they can approve $450,000 contract.
Right.
And they are going to close some schools going forward.
Hey, listen, can you stay with us this next segment?
Yeah, I can stay a little longer.
Yeah, we're gonna take a quick pause, y'all. This is our last and final break. We're going to bring the controller back. This is you're now listening to Tone and Tenor Show with Controller Reinhardt. Our topic today is interesting political week locally, regionally, and nationally. What's next, part two?
Germantown Avenue and West Ontario streets around 1:30 this morning. The man who has not been identified.
I don't know what's going on, but I know that something's wrong. And I know that lately my city, it been crazy. It's like every day somebody's gone. And every time I turn around, I hear them gun sounds. Cop signs, man, we need to put the guns down. Everybody wanna be a shooter, scared to fight, so they take a life, ain't no one-on-ones now. All of this killing, I'm like, when will it stop? And it really don't help that we don't get no help from the cops. They hear a shooting in the hood, they get late to the block. Bet they hear an officer down, they get straight to the block. It's crazy. I'm
Tired of hearing about these missing babies. Stop the killing and let's find all of these missing babies. I wrote this song cause I noticed how it feels to lose somebody you love, and that's real. That's why I don't want to look up. Every time I look up, I can see them pictures hanging.
Welcome back to the Tone and Tennis Show here on WWDB Talk 60 AM. I'm Pat Edward.
860, that is.
I said 860?
You said 60.
I said 60? Sorry, 860. I'm sorry, I just drank my beet juice. Sorry, y'all. We are here with Rebecca Reinhart, who is the city controller. We have her on for a little long of Philadelphia. So, yeah, finish that thought.
I think we were talking about
the $10 million pool.
Right. Right. So, my thought was, no, it doesn't need to be this world-class facility for like the best pool for, you know, competition with other school districts. I think that it needs to be open. Like we need to get it to where it can be open so that the community can swim in it. And that's where, you know, then after that phone call, then I thought, okay, maybe the city just needs to take it over to, and the city could pay for the $3 million.
Mm-hmm.
But it's stuck in this limbo, and this is between the city and school district. And the only people losing are the community.
The community.
Right?
You know, one of the
and
problems.
That's wrong.
Is,
that's wrong.
Yeah, it is.
One of the problems is, you know, Pat and I talk about this all the time. Parks and Rec technically makes no money. So, and remember, everything that's driven in this city is being driven by grants and money, or who's going to make money. You know, a block party doesn't make money, but if we're going to have a parade, there's millions of dollars that's going to come in for permits.
Well, there's a fee for the permit
and all that.
It's
yeah,
a lot
but
of money. It's,
but see, yeah. You have all of the residual if they have. So it's money being made.
Mm. Vendors
and all of that.
Yeah, to pay for licensing.
So,
yeah,
you know,
you're right.
The other problem. So what my point is that they're not seeing any way that they're going to spend money, but not generating any income. But if it's in the budget, or it's, as you said earlier, they can find money. This city can find money for what it wants to find money for.
Sure.
Yeah, and the department, I mean, I see what you're saying about, for example, Parks and Rec, but the department doesn't actually get to keep its revenue. So the department just gets a budget number and has to deal with that budget number. So Commissioner Catherine Ott-Lovell has to work within that budget number she's given for spending. And then any revenue, most of the revenue collected goes back to the city's main account, the general fund.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's where a lot of money is sitting in the general fund. And remember, you know, after the audit, that it was $34 million at one time. And then they said it was just put on the books wrong. You know,
the
sloppy accounting. Or as we call it in the industry, creative accounting.
So that was actually that unaccounted for $33 million was shown to the world because of my office's audit on internal
Thank
controls.
Thank you for that.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, I mean, back
please
in
tell me somebody got fired for that.
I don't think anyone did.
That's a fire. That's a fireable offense. I mean, I went to school for accounting, y'all, and I did payroll in the military. I would have got fired or thrown in the brig. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
$33 million?
And most of it was located. So,
okay.
But this, I was, I'm the outside auditor and watchdog.
Yeah.
So I can basically urge or recommend or strongly recommend to the mayor and the finance director, who's the CFO of the city, to do something differently. But I can't force them to.
Right.
Okay.
When this came out, there was a lot of pushback on me and from sort of the political establishment.
Was.
Like, what are you doing? I'm like, what am I doing? There's $33 million unaccounted for. Right. And that's a huge deal. Like, that's not
so It's not $3,300. It's $33 million.
You know, we're making light of this, but this is serious. I mean, like I said, I worked
No, it is. And
You know, I worked in the finance industry for several investment companies. If we left our password on our keyboard, there was no questions asked. We got fired. A vice president was fired because of that. So, you know, it wasn't, oh, you know, we'll find it or what, you know. But it got found after the fact or what happened. But, you know, these are the things that, unfortunately, this is what we try to do here, Controller Reinhart, is try to educate the people. Because, you know, if we don't do it and bring the people on that are willing to tell the truth and to help us open the eyes, you know, we're still going to be spending 10, 15, 20 years from now and doing the same thing. You know, just like what 2005 with CSX, right there on Washington Avenue, there was a big, you know, my whole thing is stop. People need to stop playing politics on the news and in the press and doing photo ops. This is just me. You know, we're now 2022. All of a sudden, now the city decides because what's happening, you know, a blind man can see it. Washington Avenue is now being redone. So that bricks, and now you've got all of the more influential people driving up and down and going to those new buildings. Mm. So now the city is saying, oh, we're going to do something. We're going to go after CSX now. But it was a big press conference, CSX and all that was out there. Mm. But if you ride down, I ride there almost every weekend, you got bricks and everything falling down on people. You know, these are the things that are frustrating people. And I know you have a yeoman's job. And I know sometimes, just like, everybody, we're all human, we get frustrated. You know, it can be very frustrating to have to deal with some of these things one at a time, and then you don't see any major results. You may see some minor results.
Sure.
But no major. And then those minor results are not even reported because they're minor.
Yeah, because it's a band-aid.
But they are making, but some of them are making a difference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though, and you can build on those. But if you don't have anything to build on, then we're all wasting our time. But we got to keep pushing and fighting at this.
Absolutely.
And just to be serious about the internal controls and the $33 million, when that happened, part of that audit showed that the city hadn't reconciled its largest cash account in 3 years. So that's an account. I'm going to stay serious here. That's an account, and I know it's crazy sounding, and it is crazy. That's an account that's supposed to be reconciled every day. That is an account that it's supposed to match the money that the city takes in every single day from taxes and fees is supposed to be balanced to the bank account. Mm. It wasn't. Two employees retired that did it, and I guess it was never. It's crazy. They didn't hire someone else to do it, and
or
it wasn't
train
done.
A new person.
They didn't do any of that
because there's no succession plans in Philly.
So, but the majority of that money was located after a deep dive was done. About 528,000 was not located and had to be written off. I mean, the city, and this is something that I feel really strongly that even if the change isn't completely made the way that I would want it done, you know, and I'm pretty, what I want is significant disruption in the status quo to make things really work. Mm-hmm. So often there's changes around the edges that occur. Mm-hmm. But even so, I still feel that there's change, right? So because I've been pushing so hard on internal controls and the weaknesses of how the city safeguards taxpayer dollars and the finances, there have been improvements. Has it been enough? No. I mean, the city of Philadelphia still has the weakest controls over its money of the top 10 largest cities. So there's a lot of room for improvement, but I think that the people you know, people deserve a government that functions much better than our city is working. Mm-hmm. And we can have it. We can. It's possible. It absolutely is. So that's what I fight for.
Absolutely. Well, Controller, can you please let the people know how to get in touch with you or your office? You know, if you have a Twitter handle, anything of that nature.
Yeah. So our website is controller.phila.gov. Mm-hmm. We're also on Twitter and social. Twitter and Facebook. So, but you can get in touch with us also at info@controller.phila.gov. And we're more than happy to be in touch. And our website, also at thecontroller.phila.gov, has a lot of great information mm-hmm. on how the city spends its money and issues that we've found.
Absolutely.
So it's a good resource if people have a moment.
Yep. So now we appreciate you coming on. We anticipate you coming back.
That sounds great to me. I'm happy to come back. Okay. We're gonna make the city work again.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. You know,
we're here for that.
I'm here for that, and I love this city, even though I always play my city in ruins, but I love this city, and I want to see it change. I want to see our young people again making a difference in this city.
Yeah, I was sitting at the, we had the Belmont Mansion yesterday and just overlooking the city. I was like, man, our city is like a really pretty woman with a really bad attitude and a dirty house.
You're right. It is gorgeous. Our city is beautiful. And we have so much going for our city, our neighborhoods and restaurants mm-hmm. yeah. and sports teams. And, yep. you know, we've got so much culture. We're mm-hmm. great.
Yeah,
absolutely. But now we need the city to
protect everybody and get back on the right footing.
Absolutely.
That's what we need. We need some safety and some vision, and that's what the people deserve. Absolutely.
All right. Well, we're getting kicked out of here, so.
Yeah, no, I know. I have to go, too.
All right. We want to thank our
later. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Our guest, Rebecca Reinhart, Philadelphia City Controller. As City Controller, Rebecca serves as Philadelphia's chief auditor and independent financial watchdog. Listeners, follow our show on social media. On Twitter, we are at Tone and Tenor. On Instagram, we are at Tone and Tenor Radio. To find us on Facebook, just type in www.facebook.com/Tone and Tenor to find our page. Please look out for Tone and Tenor and our community partnerships in Delaware Valley and across the city and across the nation. Our studio engineer, we want to thank Wes. We want to thank our photographer, Brett, who's here every now and then.
Yeah, right. And he's also, big time now.
You know. I'm Randall Jefferson.
I'm Pat Edward. Thank you for listening to the Tone and Tenor Bipartisan Voice of the People Talk Radio Show here on WWDB 860 out of Bala Cynwyd. Have a great weekend.
It's gonna be alright. Everything.